We find ourselves 3 days after Pesach. I thought it would be interesting to talk about an event that the Torah records in Parashat Beshalach, and we actually read this on Shvi Shel Pesach in the Kriyas HaTorah, something that took place 3 days after Kriyas Yamsuf. The Pesukim that we don't normally pay that much attention to, but I think there's a tremendous amount that we can learn from them, from these Pesukim, and I'd like to focus primarily on the approach that the Ramban takes to this whole episode of Marah. Take a look in your sheets on the first source. The Torah tells us that Vayasa Moshe et Yisrael miyam suf, Vayitzu emi bashur, Vayochu shloshet yamin bamidbar v'lo matzu umayim. So right after Kriyas Yam Suf, Moshe had the Bnei Yisrael journey. They went for 3 days. They had no water. And the Pasuk continues. Pasuk Chav Gimel says, Vayavo marasa. They came to Marah. The lo yachu l'shtoznayim imara ki marim heim al-kein karashim amarah. The water was bitter. And therefore the place was called Marah. The people complained. They said, we can't drink this water. Vayitzak el Hashem. Moshe cried out to Hashem. Hashem gave Moshe some piece of wood, some earth. Vayashich el hamayim vayimtiku hamoyim. And so he threw that into the water. The water turned sweet. And then the pasuk says, "Sham sam lo choko mishpat, v'sham nisahu." There he put before him, either Hakadosh Baruch Hu or Moshe, placed before the people choko mishpat, statutes and ordinance, laws. Some system of laws were given then to the Bnei Yisrael, v'sham nisahu. And there he, let's translate it for now, as he tested them. And then the next pasuk tells us, "Vayomem Shemot Shmuel Kol Hashem Alkecha." He said, "If you will listen to the voice of Hashem, Vayoshev Ela Pasa, you do what is just in His eyes. Vazanto Mitzvotav, you will listen carefully to His mitzvot. Shemarto Kol Chukav, you will guard His statutes. Kol Hamachlo Asher Semtu Mitzvah Mosim Alecha Kim Yishan Mufecha. All the illness that I placed against the Egyptians, I will not place on you because I am Hashem your healer." These are the psukim that we read every time we read about Kriyas Yam Suf. We make sure to continue reading also until this point, Ken Yeshem Rofecha. So, specifically, I'd like to focus on the meaning of the expression, as you see in Pasuk Chathei, Sham Sam Lo Chok U Mishpat. How do Chazal interpret this idea, that in Mara, the Bnei Yisrael were given a series of mitzvot? Which mitzvot, why, and what's the meaning of all of this? Rashi really quotes from Chazal, Sham Samlo B'mara Nasan Lohem Miktsas Parshios Shel Torah Sheis Asku Bahem. In Mara, he gave them a selection of portions of the Torah that they should be involved with. It's interesting, you take note of the language of Rashi. He gave them selected parshios in the Torah Sheis Asku. They should be involved with these portions of the Torah. Which portions? Rashi identifies here for us three. Shabbos, they heard about Shabbos, Parah Aduma, they heard about the Halacha Parah Aduma, and Dinim, series of mitzvot that have to do with Bin Adam HaChavera. There's of course an interesting question that's raised by many Mepharshim as far as the specific mitzvot that Rashi mentions here. If you notice, Rashi mentions Parah Aduma, and Rashi leaves out another mitzvah that we're familiar with in another place Rashi has to quote in Mishpatim, that is Kibud Av V'Em. And actually, if you take a look in the next two sources, you'll notice that based on the Gemara in Shabbos, Bezayin, there are two references in the second set of Dibros, second time that the Seres Dibros appear in Parshas Vayeschanan. There's two references to mitzvahs that have been given already prior to Sinai. That's how Chazal interpreted at least the expression. The pasuk tells us, I see that they didn't quote exactly the right pasuk, but I should quote the right pasuk for you. Twice the Torah mentions four words, Kasher Tzivcha Hashem Elokecha. In the second set of Dibros, it says Zachar the first time, and the second time, Shomer Yom HaShabbat L'Kadsho, and then the pasuk continues, Kasher Tzivcha Hashem Elokecha. You should observe the Shabbos as Hashem has commanded. And also with Kibud Av V'Em, the second time that it appears in the Aseret HaDibros, in Parshas Vayeschanan, Kabir Es Avicha Ve'Es Imecha, Kasher Tzivcha Hashem Elokecha. Rashi comments on both references, Kasher Tzivcha Hashem Elokecha, Kodem Matan Torah B'Mara. So that is, when it comes to Shabbos, the interpretation of Kasher Tzivcha, Hashem says, observe Shabbos as I've already commanded you in Mara. And so too, Kasher Tzivcha of Kibra Ve'en, after Kibra Ve'en, says Rashi, Mitzdavu B'mara, Shemamar, and Rashi sends us to the pasuk we started with, Sham Samlo Choku Mishpat. So therefore the question has been raised, how can Rashi here in Parshas Beshalach omit Kibud Ava'im, and instead we find Rashi quoting the mitzvah of Paraduma? So there's an interesting conjecture that's given by the Torah Kanima that maybe some of you may have heard of. He claims that really there's a slight Tos Sofer in Rashi, and really what it should have said was Shabbos and then Vav Kaf Aleph, which is a way of saying the Kibud Av. The Kibud Av and Dinan. So you have Shabbos, Kibud Av'im, and Dinan. Because in fact, nowhere in the Gemara do we find that Parah Aduma was given in Mara. We do find, as we just noted, the Rashi in Parashat Veschanim, based on the Gemara and Shabbos, that Kibud Av'im was given in Mara. So therefore, maybe that's what Rashi should be saying. But the truth of the matter is, as Mepasher and others point out, there is a source in Chazal that Parah Aduma was given in Mara. That's a Sefer Olam Zuta. An obscure medrash, not something that we usually come across, but in fact there is a reference in Chazal to what Rashi says, and perhaps it's based on the word chok. As we know, Paraduma is called a chok. So whatever the reason, Rashi didn't mention Kibud Av'im, but he mentioned Paraduma in another place. Rashi mentions Kibud Av'im, but that's not our focus for today, the specifics of the mitzvahs in Mara, but rather the general idea. How do we approach this notion of mitzvahs of Mara? What does it mean when we say that various mitzvahs, namely Shabbos, Kibud Av'im, Dinim, were given in Mara? What was the idea? What's the point? And what does it mean? Sham Samlo Choko Mishpat? And the Lashon of Rashi, again, as we pointed out, Mixas Parshio Shil Torah Sheyis Asku Bahem. The Ramban in Parshas Beshalach has a very novel approach to understanding the mitzvahs of Mara. He quotes Rashi, and we'll try to go through some of the Ramban together in Source 5. After quoting Rashi, the Ramban points out, this is in fact how Chazal interpret the meaning of Sham Samlo Choko Mishpat, the Hidas Rabbo Sein, based in the Gemara Sanhedrin and Vav, and also in Shabbos Pezai. Dani Tamar, Ramban raises an interesting question. Rama lo pireish kan hachukim ha'eira v'hamishpatim. Why doesn't the Torah specifically tell us about these mitzvahs in a manner that would reflect a commandment to fulfill these mitzvahs, to perform these mitzvahs? And the pasuk should read, V'yomar, it should say, V'yidaber Hashem el Moshe, Sav es b'nei Yisrael, Kasher omar b'parashat ha'nizkaros v'mala, as we find in the beginning of the section of Achodesh Yudalachem, Perek Yud Beis, Dabru akor das b'nei Yisrael, V'osor achodesh hazeh, the pasuk introduces a series of mitzvot in Mitzrayim, Karban Pesach, Chametz Matzah, with the way that we would normally expect a mitzvah to be introduced by Dabar Hashem El Moshe, Dabar El Bnei Yisrael. V'chein Yaseh b'chol ha'mitzvos, v'olem Moed, v'arbos Moav, u'Pesach Midbar. After all, throughout Sefer Vayikra, when Hashem commands Moshe about a mitzvah in olem Moed, again, by Dabar Hashem El Moshe, Vayikra Moshe, v'yomer Hashem El Moshe, in Arbos Moav and Sefer Dvarim as well, mitzvahs are introduced in such a way. Pesach Midbar, when they had to once again do the Pesach a year later, the Pasuk Baloska, the Pasuk introduces it by HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling Moshe that he should tell the Klal Yisrael to perform the mitzvah. So it's very strange, says the Ramban, that here we have a Kabbalah and Chazal, a tradition that Bnei Yisrael given mitzvos, and yet it's put in such an unusual way. Sham lo choku mishpat. Instead of Hashem commanded them in this mitzvah or that mitzvah, as we find most of the time in the Torah. Now the Ramban picks up on something else, and that is the language of Rashi. The Lashon Rashi she'amar parshios sheyis asku b'hem. So that would suggest that this is not so much a commandment, a mitzvah in the sense of they are now bound by these mitzvahs. From here on in, they have to observe Shabbos, Kibud Av'im, and so on. Rather, parshios to be involved with. Masma shehodiyim hachukim ha'ele. He informed them about these mitzvos. The limeid osam osid hakadosh baruch hu litzavos eschem bekach. And he informed them that there will be a time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will formally command you to observe these mitzvahs. So Ramban is suggesting a very interesting perspective on what happened in Mara. The Jews were not commanded right now in any particular mitzvah that they were not commanded in before. But they began to be aware of the fact that there are a number of mitzvahs that they will some point in the future be commanded to keep. And this is again, the Rambam picks this up from the language of Rashi. The language of Rashi is mitzvos parshios shel Torah sheyis asku bahem. In other words, the purpose, and we'll see more in the Ramban as we go on as far as more specifically the purpose, but let's suggest at this point, the purpose of these mitzvos, we would say, would be based on the idea of what? Not ma'aseh, not learn, not practice, but learning, study. Yes, asku bahem, lasok b'divrei Torah. The point of the mitzvah Samara would be for the Bnei Yisrael to become aware of this mitzvah, to be involved in the study and intellectually pursuing these mitzvahs, to understand them, become familiar with them, and to be aware that at one time in the future they will become commanded formally in performing and fulfilling these mitzvahs. Before we continue in the Ramban, I think we can notice an interesting thing. This is a Gemara in Bava Kamma, Pei Beis, that what the Ramban has been suggesting right now squares very well with something that the Gemara tells us in Perek Merubah in Bava Kamma. The notion of Kriyas HaTorah that we have, Shabbos, Monday and Thursday, what is it based on? Why do we have a Kriyas HaTorah instituted Shabbos and then also Monday and Thursday? The Gemara tells us that the Dorshei Rishumos, whoever they were, they expounded on the Psukim in the Torah, looked at these Psukim in Mara, and they said, it says that they went for 3 days without water. Water doesn't just mean physical water. Water means Torah. Emayim ala Torah, hoikul tzame l'chul amayim. The Bnei Yisrael did not have the water of Torah, and they got tired, they got exhausted, they felt fatigued, miyad nilu. Amdu Nevi'im HaRishonim, the earlier Nevi'im, Moshe and whoever else, instituted Kriyas HaTorah that they should not go by 3 days without some public form of Talmud Torah in order to prevent this experience from happening again, that Klal Yisrael will not have intellectual water of Torah to keep them going. So the notion of Kriyas HaTorah, Shabbos, Monday and Thursday, that there should not be 3 days going by without Kriyas HaTorah is based on these psukim. Why Monday and Thursday, Tosis discusses these are days of Ratzon and so on, but the point is that there shouldn't be 3 days interrupt without a sense of Talmud Torah. So what was therefore at one level the purpose of the mitzvahs in Mara? The Klal Yisrael to feel intellectually stimulated, to be able to persevere, to go on. They couldn't just continue without having the intellectual stimulation of Talmud Torah. And that's the Russian of Rashi, as we said, mitzvos sheyis astu b'hem. Now, there is an interesting question, though, that we should right away pose on this Ramban. Because as we saw the Rashi just before, based on the Gemara and Shabbos, the language of the Chumash in Parshas Veschanan, when it refers to the mitzvah of Shabbos and it refers to the mitzvah of Kibbutz Ava'im, Kasher Sivcha Hashem Elokech, keep the Shabbos as I have commanded. Honor your father and mother as I commanded you. Now, how can we say it's a commandment? According to the Ramban, it doesn't seem to be a commandment. It's simply an awareness that there's going to be a mitzvah given at some point, and a Talmud Torah idea that they should be involved in studying these parshas, but they're not bound by these mitzvahs yet. So, in fact, we're going to have to somehow look further in the Ramban and see if we can see within the words of the Ramban some way to perhaps force that interpretation into the language of Kasher Tzivcha. Maybe not formally, they were not commanded formally in these mitzvot, but somehow the point of these mitzvot, and the point even of the Talmud Torah that came about in these mitzvot, was not just simply that they should have the experience of Talmud Torah, but also to prepare them, to condition them for the commandment that was to come subsequently. So that it's not just pure Talmud Torah and then comes the Tzivui, but that which they were given, the mitzvah, in the form of Talmud Torah, which perhaps also meant they should actually do the mitzvah as an Eino Mitzvah Ba'osa, was for the sake of being able later on to fulfill these mitzvahs, and therefore somehow it also can be viewed as Kasher Tzivcha, because it was for the purpose of leading to a Tzivui. The Ramban continues and makes an interesting analogy, which also requires some explanation. Al haderech shelamad Avraham Avinu es haTorah. After saying that the Ramban, that the idea of these mitzvot was Hashem told them, Moshe told them, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to command you.
So Ramban compares it to that which Avraham Avinu studied the Torah. What does Ramban want with this analogy? Avraham Avinu studied the Torah. In other words, he wasn't bound by these mitzvot. Right? Avraham Avinu only had one mitzvah he was commanded to keep, and that's Bris Milah. Okay, so the Ramban felt that that would be the perfect analogy to the mitzvot of Mara, Avraham Avinu having kept the entire Torah and having learned the Torah. Requires some sort of an explanation. At this juncture, perhaps let's suggest one possibility. Again, I don't know if this is true or not, if it's Pshat in the Ramban or not, but it's something that I thought about. Maybe there's some merit to it. The Gemara tells us that the Gemara Avodah Zarah, that the world is consisting of 6,000 years. World history will exist for 6,000 years, and they can be broken down into three groups of 2,000 years. The first 2,000 years are known as Shnei Alafim. Nobody? Tohu. Shnei Alafim Tohu. Corresponding to the first 2 days of creation until Hashem separated between land and ocean. And B'seirah Ha'abasha, civilization was created on Yom Shlishi. Until that time, we can view the state of creation as Tohu. Tohu V'bohu. Beginning with the second 2,000 years, the third and fourth millennia, you have Shnei Alafim Torah. And then you have, of course, the final 2,000 years, which is considered the Yemot HaMashiach, and Mashiach to come within this next set of 2,000 years. Now, when did the 2,000 years of Torah begin? The 2,000 years of Torah began with Avraham Avinu, and specifically when Avraham Avinu began to proselytize to bring people close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'Tanefesh Asher Asu B'Charon, that begins the third millennia, the Shnei Alafim of Torah. Now, we saw before that B'nai Yisrael were going 3 days without Torah, and Miyad Nilu, the Gemara tells us above the Kama, they were fatigued, they couldn't exist. One of the Svarim, Talmud of Beis Yosef, Rabbi Eliezer Ashkenazi, wrote a Sefer Maasei Hashem, and commenting in these Pesukim in Parashat B'Shalach and Mara, he notes that there's a connection between the Shnei Alafim Tohu, and then comes Torah, with the fact that Klal Yisrael couldn't go, and they got to 3 days without Torah, they couldn't sustain themselves. They needed somehow some intellectual stimulation to go on. So according to his analogy, it would be interesting that Avraham Avinu injected Torah into the Bria, into the creation, where there was chaos and tohu, and it was in danger of collapse. Avraham Avinu came to the rescue and brought in Torah to the world, so that in a sense the world could continue. And soon it was, of course, Matan Torah came later on with Klal Yisrael. But Avraham Avinu was the one who first brought in Torah to the world, according to this Gemara. And so it is with Klal Yisrael here, in a certain sense. When they got to Mara, they needed Torah, and that's how they got it in the form of the mitzvot of Mara. So maybe there's something there in terms of the equation that the Rambam makes with Avraham Avinu. Perhaps there's more as well, as we'll proceed again in the Ramban. The Ramban now goes further. So there's a series of mitzvot that the Jews found out about that they're going to be commanded. But why? The Ramban says, V'haya zeh lahagilam b'mitzvot. The Ladakh in the Kabbalah son the Simcha Ubituv Revav. Ramban is saying seemingly two things. The Hayazel Hagilim bin Mitzvot. First, the purpose of these mitzvot that Hashem taught them, or Moshe taught them, was that they should become accustomed to mitzvot. The Hagilim bin Mitzvot, to be familiar, to be accustomed, to be oriented in these particular mitzvot. And further, the ladas in the tabu of some b'simcha ubituv levav, and to know whether they would accept them enthusiastically with joy, with appropriate good spirits. V'hu hanisayon sh'amar v'sham nisahu, and this is the meaning of nisayon. I think in these two lines of the Ramban there's a lot that we can dissect. What are the two ideas seemingly the Ramban is referring to? Lahagile in the mitzvos, and then the ladas in the tabu of some b'simcha ubituv levav. Lahagilah in the mitzvot is very much similar to what we would call the notion of chinuch. A child is not bar mitzvah yet, and yet there's a notion of chinuch to give them a sense of familiarity with mitzvot, to do it. Why? In order that when they become bar mitzvah, they become formally commanded, it won't be something new, it will be something that they've been already habituated in, and naturally they'll want to continue because they're already focused and they're oriented, and it's something they've been doing already. So in a certain sense, again here, the Bnei Yisrael were given the mitzvah, becoming familiar with the mitzvah, hearing about it, probably doing it on some level in the mitzvah va'oseh, in order that when the formal commandment was issued, it wouldn't be something new, but they already have hergel, they're already used to it, and it becomes that much easier for them at that point to continue to perform and fulfill those mitzvahs. That's the first reason the Ramban seems to be saying, ha'gila in the mitzvah. The second idea, the ladas, in the kabbalah sam b'simcha u'b'tuv revav, to see whether they would accept them in an enthusiastic way. What does that refer to? It's like a probation. Let's see. Well, not probation, but in a sense, let's see exactly what you do with this. If you do it, yes. Okay, there's a if there'll be time at the end, maybe we can discuss that. You're asking a very good question. How do you compare or contrast the mitzvot of Mara with the mitzvot of Mitzrayim? There already was a certain form of Kabbalah Torah, in some sense, mitzvot of the Torah. Tefillin, for example, appears already, other mitzvot, and where does Mara fit vis-a-vis those mitzvot? And it's something that I've discussed and I've written about, but it's not something we're going to get totally afield of the focus of this year. But if you want afterwards, we can talk about it. So the second idea that Ramban seems to be suggesting, the Ladas and the Kabbalosam, is for HaKadosh Baruch Hu or Moshe to know whether they'll be ready for Kabbalah Satorah when the time comes. In other words, if they receive these mitzvot of Mara in the appropriate manner, then we know that we can work with these people. We can give them Torah and they can become commanded and they'll do well. If they respond in an inappropriate way and they don't take to these mitzvot very well, then in a sense, we say, okay, there's no point in going further with them because it's not going to work out. It's in other words an experiment. So we have one idea in the Ramban, a chinuch idea, lahagil in the mitzvos. The other idea is the ladash and the kabbalosam. Will they accept these mitzvos enthusiastically? I have a question exactly how to translate the ladash and the kabbalosam. If osam refers to the mitzvos of Mara themselves, if they accept those mitzvahs of Mara enthusiastically, the point is then we know that we can give them the mitzvahs later on, or perhaps the osam refers to the subsequent commandments, the rest of the Torah that they'll get later on, not just these mitzvahs themselves, but the idea is, if they respond appropriately to these mitzvahs, we know that they're ready to receive the rest of the mitzvahs later on. There really is no practical difference. The idea is one and the same, it's a question of semantics. Whether Ramban's Yikabu osam refers to the here and now, or to the future. But the distinct idea of the Ladas and the Kabbalosam is this is a test. A test. Let's see how you do. If you do well, we know we can proceed further. If not, we won't proceed further. So we have two distinct ideas of why the mitzvahs were given. Separate from the first idea of Talmud Torah for the sake of intellectual stimulation, we have a particular link between this and the commandment later on. First, in order to facilitate and to ease the transition to the mitzvahs of later on, to the fulfillment of the mitzvahs. That is the hagilin, the mitzvahs akin to chinuch. And secondly, the ladash and the kabbalosam in a way to test and to test the waters and see are they ready or are they not ready for Kabbalah Satorah. The Ramban, after mentioning these two ideas, he says, V'hu ha-nisayon sha'amar v'sham nisahu. And that is the nisayon. What does the Ramban mean after mentioning the two reasons, V'hu ha-nisayon, that is the nisayon? Again, I didn't see this anywhere, but intuitively I would like to explain these words in the following way. What is the meaning of the word Nisayon? So originally we translated as test, Bisham Nisayon. Okay, but that interpretation would fit well with which of the two reasons that Ramban just mentioned? The second, the Ladash and Nikadulosam, in other words, we're testing. But then there's also another meaning to Nisayon. Nisayon also means to be habituated, to be experience, to have the experience, in other words, to be familiar. Many psukim to this effect. Kilavavor, Nasos Eschem Boha Elokim, in Pashat Yisro, after Matan Torah, the Ramban there offers one explanation, Nasos, to give you the experience. Even today in modern Hebrew, Nisayon is having experience. So therefore, but the Ramban perhaps is saying, Vahuha Nisayon, in other words, Nisayon has a dual meaning. And therefore, the two ideas that he just mentioned fit within the word nisayon. Either the sham nisayon, there he gave them the chance to be familiar with these mitzvos, la'agirei the mitzvos. And secondly, v'ruah nisayon, he tested them to see whether they would accept the mitzvos in appropriate manner, enthusiastically, and therefore we can proceed with Kabbalah Torah. In truth, these two reasons are not so different and so far apart. Because really, if you think about the second idea, the ladas in yikadruos, and to check whether they would accept the mitzvot appropriately, is there really a doubt for Kadosh Baruch Hu? Does he really not have a question whether the Jews would accept the mitzvot in Mara, and therefore they would accept the mitzvot later on? Hashem knows the future. Kadosh Baruch Hu knows, of course, that Bnei Yisrael were ready, and that they had it in them to accept the Torah. So what's the point of going through the motions of giving them a test if Hakadosh Baruch Hu is the tester and he knows how they'll do on the test, right? This is, of course, a question that can be raised any time we find the notion of Nisayon. And the Ramban himself in Parshas Vayera, at the Nisayon of the Akedah, raises this question. The Ramban answers, he brings the answer of the Rambam there. The Rambam says it's not for Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's for the world to know about Avraham Avinu's character. The Ramban says the answer is, it's not for Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's for Avraham Avinu himself, because he brought out those character traits, min ha-koach el ha-poel, from the potential to reality. He realized those abilities through passing the test. Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted those traits that were in potential to come out into the real world, because it gives him that much more schar as a result of the fact that he's actualized those abilities that he had latent within him. So in a certain sense, the viladas in Yekabalos, and the desire to know whether they would accept them, is not really because there was a question whether they would, but it's in order to allow them to have expressed it, in fact, in the realm of the real world, and experience. So the experiential component of the Hagil and the Mitzvos, in a certain sense, is also part of the definition of the second idea that they should, Hashem should know whether they can do it, namely that they would express it, in fact, and of course, therefore, the two reasons are not so far apart either. Coming back to the analogy of Avraham Avinu, though, what could we say at this point in terms of explaining the analogy of why the Ramban equates the Mitzvah Samara to that which Avraham Avinu kept the whole Torah? Well, perhaps the Ramban has an important perspective on the idea of Maisa Avos Simen Rabbanim. Chazal tell us that which we find about that occurs to the Avos is a harbinger to the descendants of the Avos. The Ramban says that when Avraham Avinu walks across the land of Eretz Yisrael, Arkal v'Rachba, what does that do? It creates that Kal Yisrael can more readily conquer the land of Eretz Yisrael. If Avram does something in a particular place, somehow that brings about that much easier for the descendants to be able to do X, Y, or Z. And Ramban goes to examples in Chumash. Avraham Avinu came to Mitzrayim, just like Kal Yisrael went down to Mitzrayim. He left Mitzrayim b'chush gadol, so to speak, with Paro giving him all this wealth. So it is with the Kal Yisrael went out of Mitzrayim with b'chush gadol, and so on and so forth. Perhaps Ramban would also say that Avraham Avinu's Talmud Torah made it that much easier for Kal Yisrael to have their experience of Talmud Torah and Kiyum HaMitzvah subsequently as well. And so in a certain sense, just as the Bnei Yisrael being given the mitzvahs in Mara was meant to accustom them to fulfill the mitzvahs later on, to habituate them, to make the transition easier for them in their personal lives as a collective nation, so similarly, Avraham Avinu, being the father of the nation, his Talmud Torah was also meant to facilitate an easier transition for his descendants, for Kal Yisrael, subsequently, many generations later, also when it came their time to go through the experience that they went through, just like within them, their own lives, their experience of Mara was meant to habituate them for what they would do later on. So in a broader sense, Avraham Avinu, being the father of the nation, was also meant to do the same thing for the descendants of Avraham Avinu. Again, this is all speculation. We don't really know why the Ramban uses the analogy. Maybe there are other ways as well that we can explain it. I just want to also point out something else that's interesting, based on the two reasons that Ramban has mentioned. There is There is, of course, a lot to say about the relationship between Matan Torah and the notion of Geirus. We learn out the halachas of Geirus, of conversion from Matan Torah. Bnei Yisrael underwent Mila in Mitzrayim. They underwent Tevila at Matan Torah. One of the halachos of Geirus is called Hodas Mitzvos, that you have to give the Geir, the prospective Geir, a sample of Mitzvos that he would ultimately become commanded to keep. Modin lo mitzvah mitzvos kalos and mitzvah mitzvos hamuros. Where would we find that parallel here for Klal Yisrael and Mitzrayim? So it occurred to me the answer would be Mara. Kadosh Baruch Hu gives him a sample of mitzvos. Shabbos, what's it, paraduma, not paraduma, kibbut avayin, dinim, these are a sample of mitzvos. And so, therefore, the notion of giving these kaiyos of these mitzvos is part of what we find in the Seder of Geirus as well. I found this actually in the Sefer Torah HaMincha by one of the Rishonim, one of the students of the Rashba, gave drushos to his Kehila. Rav Yaakov Saki was his name, and they printed a number of years ago his drushos, Torah HaMincha. I think now it's also is part of the Osher HaChachma or Bar Ilan, one of the other, they have this as well. And he says Mefurish explicitly that the notion of Mara was to fulfill that halacha of Modin lo mitzvos mitzvos kalos mitzvos chamuros. But it's interesting, because the Ramban himself in Parshas Truma, the very outset of Parshas Truma, points out that when we find a whole series of mitzvot that are mentioned in connection to Matan Torah, for example, at the end of Parshas Yisro, we have a number of halachos related to Mizbeach, how to construct the Mizbeach, all of Parshas Mishpatim, for that matter, according to Ramban, was given after Matan Torah, but as connected to the covenant of Matan Torah. The Ramban says explicitly that all of this was to fulfill that which we find, that you give a ger, a sample series of mitzvos, modiyah lo mitzvah, mitzvah kalos, mitzvah chamuros. This is the meaning of why we find all the mitzvos in Parshas Mishpatim. So how does that square with what we just said? We're suggesting that the mitzvos of Mara were meant to fulfill modiyah lo mitzvah, mitzvah kalos, mitzvah chamuros. And the Ramban says it wasn't mitzvos of Mara, apparently, it was mitzvos that we find in Parshas Mishpatim. But I think the answer is very interesting, very obvious. The halacha of Modin lo mitzvos mitzvos kalos appears twice. If you look in the Gemara Yevamos in Zion, I'm at Aleph and Zion and Beis, you have it twice. Once, when the ger initially begins on the process of gerus. So you start off giving him a, try to dissuade him, you really want to do this, and so on, but he says, I want to go forward, so you give him a sample of mitzvot. Then you have the process of the gerus itself, for example, the tvila. At the time of the tvila, again, you go through the same procedure of giving the ger the mitzvah, the sample of mitzvahs. In Shulchan Aruch and Yerodei Hilchos Geirus, both times are mentioned. You do it once in the beginning of the process, you do it again at the time of the Geirus. And so it would be very appropriate to suggest that this, in fact, also took place for Klal Yisrael in Mara, was the first time. This is the beginning of the process of Geirus. Of course, there was Mitzrayim as well, but we're not yet at Matan Torah. And then again, around the time of Matan Torah, you had the same thing happening again. And again, the reasons for why you do this, we can also suggest the two reasons that the Ramban mentions. Number one, to habituate the Bnei Yisrael mitzvos, and so it is with the ger, you want to get him a sense of familiarity with the mitzvos, oriented, and then, of course, in order to know whether we're ready to proceed, whether we should proceed with you or not. So again, it's interesting how the halachos of Geirus can be found and detected within what we find here, both in Mara and then subsequently at Matan Torah. The Ramban continues, Vahodiyim sh'od yitzavim b'mitzvos, v'tzelu sh'omer, im sh'moa tishma l'koha sh'mo l'kecha, v'azanta l'mitzvosa, v'she yitzavim oscha b'hem. You know, you also find by Geirus that you tell the ger, the prospective ger, the onesh of mitzvos. If you don't do the mitzvos, there's all kinds of punishments that could happen. But what do you have over here? In other words, if you observe the mitzvos, you'll be spared all of these terrible punishments. If you don't observe the mitzvos, there's a rod, there's a punishment. Again, it conforms very nicely to the halachos of Geirus. Okay, I'd like to shift gears for a minute and take a look in source 6, the Gemara in Shabbos, which presents a very difficult problem on the Ramban. The Gemara talks about the chronology of Matan Torah, and it's interesting how this year the calendar coincides exactly with that which it was in year 2448 of creation. Thursday, Tesvav Nisan, was the day that Bnei Israel left Mitzrayim, and so was for us the first day of Pesach. So they actually must have arrived in Mara yesterday, 3 days after Kriyas Yamsuf, assuming Shvi'i Shel Pesach was Shvi'i Shel Pesach, and Shvi'i Shel Pesach was Rosh Shishi Shel Pesach, and so Shmini Shel Pesach, so it will be today. In any event, if you go further, so we get to the month of Sivan, and we take the opinion of Rav Yossi. Rav Yossi was the one who held that the Matan Torah took place on the 7th of Sivan. And everyone agrees that Matan Torah was on Shabbos. So it's interesting. We observe Shavuos, Friday, and Shabbos, 6th and 7th of Sivan. But the Torah was given 2448 of creation on the 7th of Sivan, contra Yossi, which was Shabbos. So that would mean that Rosh Chodesh Sivan was on what day of the week? Sunday. That would mean that the sixth day of the week, of that week, was the sixth day of Sivan. Right? So the Gemara quotes, in the context of its discussion, of Yossi Agri and the Chachamim. The Chacham would have it differently. They would have Rosh Chodesh on Monday, and the sixth of Sivan for them was on Shabbos, which again was the day of Matan Torah. But Rabbi Yossi Agri says that the Matan Torah on Shabbos was the seventh of Sivan. This Braisa, the Gemara quotes, is consistent with Rabbi Yossi. The Braisa says, quote, Shishi. The first thing he points out is Shishi, the sixth to something. The Braisa continues, Shishi b'chodesh, that sixth to something was also the sixth of the month of Sivan, and also Shishi b'Shabbos, and was also the sixth of the week. In other words, the Friday before Matan Torah was, number one, the sixth day to something, which we'll identify in a moment. It was Shishi to something. It was also Shishi b'Shabbos. It was the sixth of the week. It was a Friday. And it was also the sixth of the month of Sivan. Fine? So the Gemara explains, that seems to go like Rabbi Yossi in the Hanami. Hanami Rabbi Yossi, that's Rabbi Yossi. Kasha the Rabbanan, it doesn't go with Rabbanan. They say differently. They say that the sixth of Sivan, the sixth of the week, was the fifth of Sivan, and Shabbos was the sixth of Sivan. Okay, this goes like Rabbi Yossi. Now the Gemara comes back to the first word of the Braisa, Shish. The sixth to something was also, as we said, sixth of the month and the sixth of the week. Shishi Ramad. What was it the sixth day to? In Machlokes, Rava and Rav Acha bar Yaakov. Rava Amar, and this goes to Amud Beis, their Pesach and Beis, Lachana Yosan. Let's understand. They arrived at Har Sinai. Where were they before? What was the stop before Har Sinai? Rephidim. Vayisum Rephidim, Vayavau Midbar Sinai. We know that they arrived at Har Sinai on Sunday, which was, as we said, Rosh Chodesh Sivan. This is Yossi's opinion. When did they journey from Rephidim? Two possibilities. Either they journeyed from Rephidim on that same day, they left Rephidim on Sunday, Rosh Chodesh Sivan, they arrived at Har Sinai on the same Sunday, Rosh Chodesh Sivan. Other possibility, they journeyed from Rephidim on Shabbos, they didn't arrive till the next day, Sunday, at Har Sinai. What does that depend on? Let's look in the Gemara. Rava Amar Lachana Yosan. You want to identify this sixth day of Sivan, sixth day of the week, to a sixth day to something. It was a sixth day to their having encamped at Har Sinai. Not the sixth day to their journey. Their journey already preceded that by another day. The journey was on Shabbos. It was 7 days to their journey from Rephidim. It was 6 days to their having arrived at Har Sinai. Rav Acha bar Yaakov Amar L'Masan. It was the sixth day to their journey. I mean, they didn't journey until Sunday either. They left Sunday, they arrived Sunday. What's the question? What do they disagree on? Why does Rav say that they journeyed on Shabbos, but they arrived on Sunday? Rav Acha bar Yaakov says, no. They didn't journey, they didn't leave Rephidim until Sunday either. They come niflagi b'Shabbos l'mara. The argument has to do with the Shabbos of Mara. Because yichsiv kasha tzivcha Hashem elokech. When it says, observe Shabbos as it commanded you, means in Mara. So now the question is as follows. Marsava, one opinion is, as Shabbos ifkud. On Shabbos, they were commanded. Ifkud is mitzvah, they were commanded. Tchumin, lo ifkud. The mitzvah of tchumin, that they couldn't go out of Alpayim Amma, let's say, according to the opinion of Akiva, the Raisha. Let's just run it that way now. So they were not commanded in Mara on tchumin. And therefore, they're free to have journeyed from the Rephidim on Shabbos, because they're leaving the Tchum, no problem. They were not yet commanded about Tchumim. And therefore, that's the opinion that Rava says that they encamped on Sunday, it was six to the encampment, but not to the journey. The journey was actually on Sabbath. They were also commanded on Tchumim. And therefore, they could not have begun the journey on Sabbath, therefore it was Shishi Umachah. Okay, Rabbi said. The Ramban told us, Pshat in Chumash, based on what Chazal is saying, that they were given in Mar the mitzvos, including the mitzvos of Shabbos. They were given the mitzvos in order that they should have the intellectual stimulation, a partial Sias Askaban, in order they should be aware of the fact that Hashem would command them at some point in mitzvos, in order to know that they'd be accustomed, to know that they'd be able to accept the mitzvos, to be accustomed, make them accustomed to do mitzvos. But meanwhile, they were not commanded in those mitzvos yet. We have a Gemara here on Shabbos that says, were they commanded on Tchumen? That's the question. A Shabbos Ifkud? That's for sure. A Tchumen Ifkud? That's the question. According to the Ramban, they were not commanded anything. So how could anyone say that there should be a problem of Tchumen? There was not a problem of anything, seemingly, because Mar was simply a way to experiment with the Jews, but they were not bound by these mitzvahs. What do we do with this Gemara? Big problem, many raise the question, and some give less than satisfactory answers, but I think there's a very simple way to answer this. But before I give you the answer, I want to ask another question, which again, for the Ramban, would work out very well. We just finished, not long ago, the Seder in Pesach. We have the 15 steps of the Dayenu, right? Kama Milos Tovos Lamakam Aleinu. And I think if you answer this question, we'll be able to answer the Ramban, this Gemara as well. What is the 10th? Okay, I can't put it this way. The 10th of the 15 Milos of Dayenu, that's a bit hard, but let's go through the order of Dayenu. We get to the Midbar. Sibik Sarchin of the Midbar Ban Shana, Dayenu. And then we go after that. Ilu Sibik Sarchin of the Midbar Ban Shana, below Hechivano Saman, Dayenu. And then the next one. Ilu Hechivano Saman, below Nasan Ranu, Echishabas, Dayenu. Problem. What's the order? We got the man, then he gave us Shabbos. Question that many ask is the reverse. When did we get Shabbos? In Mar. And then we got the man, a little bit later on, a place the Chazal identifies Olus. Okay, that was afterwards. Why is the order reversed? Why do we first mention having gotten the man and then the Shabbos? The Shabbos preceded that which we got the man. We learned more about the man, about Shabbos at the man. It fell double on Friday, it didn't fall on Shabbos, but we got the mitzvah of Shabbos in Mar. There are various answers, but I think the answer for the Ramban should be very clear. The Ramban told us that the mitzvahs in Mar, they were not commanded yet. He told them, you're going to be commanded in these mitzvahs. When were they commanded in these mitzvahs? Was it all the same time? So the answer may very well be, no. Kibbut Avraham, let's say, formally became a commandment at Sinai. Dinim, also at Sinai. Shabbos. The mitzvah of Shabbos became binding upon the Bnei Israel, not in Sinai, but before Sinai. When the parish of the man, when he learned about Shabbos, that's when Shabbos became binding. And therefore, the lo nasan ranu es haShabbos refers not to having received the mitzvah intellectually to be known, to know that they're going to have the mitzvah, but having become commanded in the mitzvah, that came with the man. The Gemara says, what came in Mara? Were they commanded on Tchumen in Mara? What doesn't have to mean commanded? We pointed out, pointed to the Ramban, the purpose of whatever they got in Mara was to facilitate the commandment. But whatever it was that they got in Mara about Shabbos became formally binding where? By the man, in Olus. Whatever was not part of the Parshiyot Shel Torah, the Parshiyot of Shabbos in Mara, did not become binding until Matan Torah. And therefore the question that the Machlokes here that revolves around is, did they have the mitzvah of Tchumen in Mara, namely in the form that the Ramban has it, in which case they would become bound by this mitzvah of Tchumen by the man, in which case when they left Refidim, they could not have left. After that, on Shabbos, they have to leave on Sunday. If it wasn't part of the mitzvah of Mara, then it never would have become binding in Olus either, because that's the relationship. Whatever was given in Mara became binding by the man. And I think that would be the very, very simple way to resolve the Ramban. If I have another few minutes, let me just sort of sit here and just conclude with one interesting thought. So, having gone through the Ramban, the nuances of the Ramban, if you take another look at the Ramban so far, the Ramban suggests another explanation of Mara, Al derech hapshat. The Ramban says, Al derech hapshat, what is this chok or mishpat that's being referred to here? When they want, we're about to go into the great wilderness, 3 days after Kriyas Yamsuf, now they're entering into the wilderness without water, without their basic needs. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to create a system of order, of social norms, if you will, that they would live by till they got to civilization. Says the Ramban, Kasher Hichelu Revu B'Midbar HaGodah V'Anor V'Tzimon HaShein Mayim Samuhem B'Nechiyosam B'Tzorcheyem In Hagim HaShe Yinagu B'Hem Ibo Melech Meshevet. Ki HaMinag Yikore Chok, the way that the protocol is called a chok. Mishpat means it's according to a certain measure, Mishur, Kahogen. And the Ramban has other examples as well to illustrate this idea. Oshi Yasven Bechukei Midbar, he had to discipline them, create a sense of discipline. Lispo Harava Atzama, it's not going to be easy, guys. It's going to be difficulties. There's going to be hunger. You're going to be thirsty. You have to know how to react, how to behave. Call out to Hashem. Don't just complain. It didn't always work, you know, in the Midbar. But at least this was the attempt. Mishpat means, how do you get along one with the other? Love one another, relate to one another properly, listen to the elders. There's a system, there are people you can consult if there are problems. When you have your chance, you have to exhibit the right privacy, create a sense of privacy for yourself, for the women, for the children. Get along with those who come out, you know, those who you interact with, if you have to exchange or barter or whatever it is. All the things that would come up in the Midbar were worked out in Marah. Not to be like a band of looters that go through the Midbar without any sense of civilization, being civilized, rather Choku Mishpat. And the Ramban goes further and further with this. This is the Ramban's interpretation of Derech HaPshat. Choku Mishpat simply means a system of law and order to work out for the Bnei Yisrael socially as they went through the Midbar. Now this is the Ramban as I said, Derech HaPshat, but it could be that even that which the Ramban mentions within Chazal, the mitzvahs that Chazal mentions, Shabbos, Kibbutz of the Ein, Dinim, Paraduma, maybe a little bit harder to see it, these mitzvahs in a certain way represent mitzvahs that you could associate with the notion called Derech Eretz. Dinim certainly is that way. How to relate if someone injures somebody else, someone damages somebody else's property. Shabbos is a sense of recognizing you can't just do what you want to do any day. There's a day of rest, discipline, self-discipline. Kibbutz of Ein is certainly something like that. So really, we can view the whole mitzvah of Mara in a different light. The Mara tells us in Sachin, Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah. Right? In order to get to Torah, you have to first have basic instincts of Derech Eretz, to know what it is to be a mensch, how to get along, and no, you can't just do everything you want to do, you have to have a sense of being able to curb yourself, how to relate to others, and everything that goes under the rubric of Derech Eretz. Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah. It took 26 generations till the Torah was given. Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah. Maybe the notion of Mara, this is something actually that I saw in one of the Sfarim of David Cohn, but I think it's very appealing. One of the notions of Mara perhaps is also that the mitzvahs of Mara represent Derech Eretz. You have to first inculcate yourself with Derech Eretz and then you can get to Torah. And based on this, I just wanted to conclude with this interesting shot that occurred to me that we say every day in our davening. Just before Kriya Shema, we speak about asking Kadosh Baruch Hu to enlighten us with Torah. But it starts off as follows. Avinu Malkeinu Bavur Avoseinu Shebatchu Vacha. In the merit of our forefathers, Shabbat Chubacha, that trusted in you, that Teram Ben Chuki Chaim, came to Chaneinu Yisraelam, then you taught them statutes of life, so you should teach us. Further on, came to Chaneinu Yisraelam, Dino Abrahman, Amrachim, Not Rishim, Bilubeinu, Lohavin, Lohaski, Lishmo, Medulame, the Hoi Nei Besarasach. So, we go on to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to teach us, to enlighten us, but before we do that, we say, Bavur Avoseinu Shabbat Chubacha, but Teram Ben Chuki Chaim. Who are Avoseinu? Who's being referred to here? We all probably think it means the Avos, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. They're our forefathers. The Rishonim, the Abudram, and others explain Avoseinu refers to the Yotzei Mitzrayim. The Bnei Yisrael left Mitzrayim, they trusted HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why? They didn't provide provision, they had provisions. The Gam Seder lo Asur lehem, Rechtech achar adam midbar, be'eretz lo ziruah. They had nothing, and yet they trusted HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If that's the case, perhaps, I suggest them, would therefore refer, according to the Ramban at least, to that which was given to Bnei Yisrael in Mara. What was given in Mara as a precursor to Talmud Torah, to Matan Torah, was the notion of Derech Eretz. These mitzvahs all come under the notion of Derech Eretz. V'atalam din chukei chayim. Therefore, came to chaneinu v'salam deinu. Give us Derech Eretz. And then, only after we ask for Derech Eretz, can we come afterwards and ask the Hohen Enev v'Sovesecha, enlighten us in Torah and give us Torah. Because without Derech Eretz, and in Derech Eretz, in Torah, has to start with Derech Eretz, and from there we get to Torah.